Blog Talk Radio.
My words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung. Would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be song to fill the air. Ripples in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow. Reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. When there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow, you who choose to lead must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da, 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 la da da da.
Frank Reardon. This is Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet, hosted by the 85 million hundred zillion people of the literary underground. I'm just an employee. Anyways, that was Ripple by the Grateful Dead, and this is a Scott Wahlberg tribute show. It's about an hour long tonight instead of 45 minutes, and I played that song because, one, because it was fitting, and two, Scott was a pretty big Grateful Dead fan, and anyways, I'm going to tell my Scott story and read a poem or two, and then hopefully one of the people who said, a bunch of the people who said they were going to call into the show and share their memories or poems or whatever can do so. But I first met Scott. He passed away about a year ago recently. And I met him about 2009 in Kansas City. We all did a poetry reading together, and there was a bunch of us for like 3 days. But I had met Scott for the first time after talking to him on the Facebook for a while, and he was just this big behemoth of a man with his oxygen tank and full of joy, and he was quite fucked up when I first met him, and singing crazy hootenannies and hoedowns, and I told him I was a fan of Eugene O'Neill, and it went on from there, and he got wild and crazy, and he was writing. People were getting him to sign his book that just came out, and he would include, like, he could spit out a poem within 2 seconds that was like, I don't know. The guy could fill me with such joy, and hung around him for about 2 or 3 days there in Kansas City. And then after that, came home, and then he, you know, started calling me, and we would talk about music. But he would never call me and say, hello, is Frank there? He would always call me, and as soon as I said hello, there would be just like this, like, joyous laughter of song, like this song that he would just like keep singing. And during that time, I had made the choice in my life to like, or I started to stop drinking like whiskey and stuff like that. And it was a really sort of like hard time mentally and stuff for me. Because I drank it like so much of it in my life, but he was always able to, like, without helping me directly talking about it, he was always able to fill me with some sort of hope or joy. And he was such like a mentor, an important person to me. And our writing styles are completely different, but I mean, he's mentored me in so many ways that I couldn't even count. And when I found out that he died suddenly a little over a year ago, and I think the date was a year ago last week, and I was in shock. He was my friend. He was, I don't know, I think he's one of the great poets of this generation, of this time. And it's so sad that writing and poetry has gone the wayside because most of the generation doesn't like to read, but I'm not going to start preaching about that. So anyways, that's my Scott story in a nutshell. There's so much more to it and so much more discussions we had about so many damn topics, from writing to movies to music to just whatever he was rapping about on the phone for about an hour straight. It was hard to get a word in edgewise. And I didn't know him as long as like David Smith or John Dorsey or all his like really good friends of the Cummerbunds, like S.A. Griffin and Doug Knott and those guys. But I feel like within that 2 to 3 years, I got to know somebody that really touched my heart, and I wish he was still here, but, you know. Anyways, I'm going to read a poem from his book, Strange Movie Full of Death, and there's no way in hell that I can read poetry like he can, because I don't sing songs and bounce around, but I'll try to give it a little justice, and I'm going to read the title poem. It's called Strange Movie Full of Death. Strange movie full of death asks us to play ourselves as the front door falls face first onto the floor. Women and men explore consent in the back alley where memoirs get written between gunshots, smiling zombies, and police lineups of love. Look painfully familiar. The ER is overfull and first class is on fire. I went down and out to find gold under the asphalt. I beat my chest and sang like a mockingbird. The ambulance is coming to see you. And the murder rate has its own new hour show on HBO. Beneath the bleeding stars, an uneasy truce is reached, and lovers intend to do their laundry before the next attack. That was the title poem from the book, and the poem on the first page. And feel free to call in. I had a feeling maybe I shouldn't have extended the show for so long because, I don't know, people always tell me they're going to call, and then they get shy. I hope I don't have to talk here for the next 49 minutes. I'll end up reading this entire book. But he was such a mentor to a lot of people. I hear a lot of that. The people who met him and knew him and just knew him through the internet, it seems to touch a lot of people that way. And he didn't necessarily care for your style or who it is you were reading or if you were good or bad. What he seemed to care about the most was that you were doing it, you know, and maybe that maybe all the other stuff would come first. I mean, would come later. And, you know, there's always a chance. And his one book I'm reading from is from Percival Press, and he has another one on that press, and that's like Viggo Mortensen's press. And he's got all kinds of other books throughout the years too. And there's you can look it through. S.A. Griffin has a blog that shows pictures of all the books he put out, and some of them you can find on Amazon. I don't know about in the 80s or 90s if those like presses he published on are still up and active. But most of all, like, what I found in Scott was that you could generally believe the things he was saying in the way that he felt. There's yet to be anybody that calls me that busts into random song and dance when I pick up the phone. There were times I was like, man, I got to get off the phone. But it was like so hard to say. So I don't know. I'm going to read him. I'll read another poem, and hopefully someone will call in. If you don't have a Scott story, you can ask me about what I knew of Scott, or you can find something online, or if you have one of his books and read it. I mean, he really is one of the greatest poets of this generation. And, you know, from now on, he's always alive. He's with me all the time, and then the short time that I knew him. But anyways, this one's called S.A. Griffin Two-Step. The sun shines in your back door someday. We sang loud in the antelope. Skydivers have your poems written in their skin. Diana Bonebreak sings and we walk backward up a mountain range. The medicine bag is full of dancing men and women. Permission to climb aboard for whatever ails you, we got it. The highway has no press agent and rubs our stomach as we glide north towards epiphany and damn right. God is a sumo wrestler attempting to lose weight. Dreams have their own political party, and you can tell the border guards your real name. The sun shines in your front door someday. We sing wherever we will. We sing wherever we will have us. So I'm just going to go in another one, because people being punks out there, not calling in. Salt of the Earth. On the Execution of the Week channel, I see someone that looks suspiciously like me. Being led to the gallows, sultry middle-aged women carrying big weapons march up and down my street, trying to keep the neighborhood from exploding. The choir intended to arrive at 5 a.m., but their bus got grabbed by a giant ape. The sick-looking guy in the right corner would have you believe he knows where the money lives. You're too thin, the hired killer said on his way to becoming a new currency. I called Dixie Collect. Tell her to sell. She said, maybe later. The salt of the earth makes my coffee frown. Love, barefoot and bleeding, waits for you in the Greyhound lobby. Soon the tender season might arrive. Hang on. Keep all fingers inside the vehicle and crossed. Death said, please read my book as soon as the light gets out of jail. So that's about three poems from A Strange Movie Full of Death. It's the only book I have in front of me at the moment, so, you know, I'm not going to leave the switchboard. And we are open for callers. We have a lot of listeners here on the in archive and live in the you know, people that we run the show with. All of a sudden, I can't remember their name. the Literary Underground. But we get a lot of listeners every month in archive and live, so I know they're there. And I should have backed it up with a second song, but I don't have it. But, you know, so let me find something here. Maybe I can play this Scott Wanberg track. Maybe it will go through my phone. We'll try it that way. I'm not too good with that. Let's hear if you can hear this.
You want some mac and cheese, Scott? You want some more?
Simultaneous Languages of Love about macaroni and cheese. Probably couldn't hear it too well. But that was like a thing that about him, you could just say something like anything you wanted to, and he would, I don't know, just go off on a poem. I guess he reminds me of what like the old Greek poets were probably like. You'd say a word to them, and they'd spout off these songs and these amazing lyrics and poems without messing anything up. But I've got a caller now, and I don't know who it is, but we'll see who it is. Hello.
Hi, Frank. It's Vicki Trancho. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good.
That's
it's
good.
It's really nice
good
of you to have a show about Scott and his poetry.
Yeah, he's he was a good friend and mentor to me. So, like, I don't know, it was fitting. I tried to have it last week, but, like, when the time was, I just couldn't do it and switch the shows in time. So whatever.
Oh,
but you know, there's
yeah.
But I just think that like he's a person that should be kept alive. He had touched so many people, and I don't know. I just thought it'd be a good show to have. Do you have a memory or something you'd like to share?
Well, I met Scott in 2009, and I really didn't know much about his poetry at the time, but I had seen him reading with Viggo Mortensen and Viggo's son Henry on DVD, and when he read Kingman Run, I just was blown away. So I got his book, Strange Movie, and I contacted him on Facebook. I had just started with Facebook. I wasn't really big into social media, and that was it. I mean, we just we became really close friends, and I love his poetry. I loved him, and he touched so many lives, and I think he really made a big difference in a lot of the younger poets' directions. He encouraged so many of them, and he was a real mentor. That was something that had a special meaning for him.
Yeah, it definitely was, like, especially, like, the real younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
He never, like, when he came to, like, he would just, like, mentor in a way, but, like, he would fill me with joy or kind of life. He never, like, I don't know how it was with other people, but for me, like, when he talked to me, it was never, you should write this way. You should read this person.
No, that was not Scott. He wanted you to let your light shine. So it had to come from within you, the way that you expressed yourself. I mean, he would never impose anything on another artist or poet. That wasn't his thing. I think you're right. I think he just brought the joy out of you and the confidence that you could do it.
Yeah, he was also a highly intelligent person, too. But I have never never met anybody quite like him. He's hard to explain unless like you actually met him, you know.
I agree.
Yeah. There's so many like videos on YouTube that you could like see him in, or if you've never met him, he's hard to explain, and I spent those 3 days with him, and that was all I ever did. But after that, you know, there was phone calls and emails and stuff like that, but I never had never encountered someone like him. It was actually quite mind-blowing how it never bothered him that, like, he was on the oxygen tank and kind of sickly. He might have been the most sickly person in the group of all of us in Kansas City, but he was the most alive one, that was for sure.
Yeah, he never let that get in his way, not till the very end. I mean, he just kept going.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he was great. I don't know. I'm going to try to find I'm going on his Facebook page now and looking at, I guess at some point in the night I'm going to read what is known to be his last poem.
Because
I think it was like 2 or 3 days later he passed away.
Yeah, I spoke to him that day, actually.
You spoke to him that day? Okay, go ahead.
It's Fade Away at Your Own Speed. Lucky for me, the bomb found my head too hard. It meant to dispossess me, but broke its mind. I saw you racing across the sky. You were running for the last bus. I hope the abyss still admires the way you cross a crowded room. Fade away at your own speed in any accessible language that will claim you in as an acquaintance. The beautiful got bloodied. The ugly, they do shine. Talk me down as I learn how to rise up. Make me a universe that can stay awake long enough to chime in when needed. This is opening night. The gnarly gods snarl. We need to deliver the goods. We need to shoulder the burden. Fade away if you must. I got a few tunes still left. I might be ragged at the edges, but the center was always my favorite room.
Wow, that's a great poem.
Scott wrote that on November 16th, 2009, listening to Jack Hardy Retrospective.
Yeah, I was called like, what song or what book?
This
I mean,
is very
or
important
movie.
To Scott. Not only writing to the music, I mean, 99% of the time I think he wrote with the music, but he also wanted to acknowledge what inspired him. And that's why he felt it was important to make note of it. That was so cool.
Yeah, and his westerns. Always watching like numerous westerns.
He loved westerns. I mean, I was out to visit him, and we watched 3 westerns. So you know, I mean, that was what he really loved to do, and read, and write, and the music. Music was very important to him, and he's pretty eclectic. But, of course, everybody knows you love John Prine, and he would sing mostly John Prine songs for you.
The Angel of Montgomery, I watched him sing reading. It wasn't like always like the best voice, but it was great at the same time, because he didn't care, you know.
No.
I got to see them do that Karma Bums reunion. I'll never forget. In Kansas City, they did a reunion, and I don't know if it might have been the last one they played. And it was quite awesome, but yet bizarre at the same time. I can't really explain it. It was a great thing to watch. I was glad to see him. I thought I heard someone was going to do a complete works of his. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know.
You know, from what I understand, they had a lot of trouble recording a lot of the Karma Bum material. You know, they tried to do it season after season. But I think they have enough material, and I heard the same thing. I heard that someone is trying to put that together. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, it would, or a complete works of Scott's poetry. I don't know if they'll do that, like a large book.
Well,
SA
said he was going to try to get something together, but I don't know if you could find all of his poetry, because he gave so much away.
Yeah, he did. I've got I probably should frame it today, but inside the book I keep a piece of paper, and my eyes wouldn't be able to read it now. I have to decipher it in the light.
Yeah, that's
but,
not easy.
Yeah, but he just took this piece of paper and just wrote like these crazy things, and I almost want to see if I can read it. I doubt it. I got it. It's in here somewhere. Hold on. Let's see. Let's see if I can decipher it. He just took a piece of paper, and he was writing poems for everybody. It says, Frank O'Riordan, Eugene O'Neill Two-Step. That's the title of the poem. Francis's state, the saint of getting spooned, raises his hole in one to the heirs. Backlist of I'm a leprechaun named Hello. There are stories in his hair, and he sings the literature anthem of rhythm. I am a troubadour for the sky and home. I am here where I live. I don't know. He just took like all these pieces of paper, and there was like 30 of us, and he just sat down and ripped out these poems in like 10 minutes for everybody. It was pretty awesome.
Well, he's a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Okay,
and thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Good one. Okay.
You too.
And that was Vicky Trancho, another friend of Scott Wanberg's. We are down to the 33-minute point. So if you'd like to call in while I'm reading what is thought to be the last Scott Wanberg poem that he ever wrote, it's on his Facebook page. It was written a couple of days before he passed away. And it's called The Cleaning Woman Will Tell You What You Need to Know to Get By. All the gleaming eye carnival barkers suddenly began to itch something frantic when the spotlights find them attempting to vanquish all remote corners of the room. A room corner once tried of its anonymity bribed a swank fashion photographer to shoot it in such a way all sentiment people would begin to know it, and even perhaps love it. Love does migrate this way, more so during summer, vanquishing a remote control can get slightly messy. If you don't wear a bib as you commit 1,000% to the vanquishing. Once I saw a man vanquish, you utilize so much muscle, he never walked the same again. As for people faced with 20-year sentence, they do feel parole could still wave its fading hand, especially when they are allowed to walk around in fags while the cleaning women dance and sing as they dust in the technology that all attests it cares. The limos are in high-octane conference. New menus are reportedly being violently thrashed out. In reader-friendly homeopathic smoke signals, the gleaming-eyed barkers sometimes fall short of the winning number, and their gleams become rusty and get thrown into the garage, where if one is not sufficiently persistent, will stupor into forgetfulness. All the miracles in candy bags are way high on the shelf. If you truly desire to partake, bring stilts. Well, that's like a great ending line, I think, to the poem. If you truly desire to partake, bring stilts. And I don't know. Yeah, he's just a great guy. And we're down to 30 minutes, so give a call in. If you don't have a poem, you could always Google the internet, the famous World Wide Web. And do that. And there's so much stuff on here that I think that Brian Fouget has left for music. Well, I don't know any of these songs, and I don't know what they mean, and they're not good for probably right now. I guess Brian Fouget did a sexual type show last week. Anyway, so quickly, let's take a break right here, and I'm going to discuss the upcoming shows, and then we'll get back to Scott so you get an idea of what's going on. And it's nice to know that there's listeners out there with me just talking, and I've had one guest. I should have known better that no one would be calling in. Anyways, after tonight's show, next Monday will be the Unadorned Press with Murphy Clamrod, followed by Danny Baker's Fractured. If Danny Baker is still around anymore, I don't know, so if he's not around, we'll have to have an open show. And we have Paul Coleman Roberts and Lynn Alexander talking about the Literary Underground, even though they don't have a show there anymore. So I guess I'll have to have them read poetry. Then I'm going to be a guest hosted by Jeffrey Santolo. I hope I'm saying his last name right. He calls in mostly every show. And I have a book coming out, and I had an open date, so I thought I would promote myself. So whatever. Then in October, we have Rob Plath, Maria Gornell, Neil McRae, Artie Armstrong of Lummox Press and Make to Eat. November, we have Aurora Kill Poet, which is Kat Benitez, George Wallace, the Walt Whitman Writer in Residence, Brian Fouget, and then Bill Gaynor. December, we have only two shows because there's two holidays and the Patriots are playing Monday Night Football. So we also have Jackie Cochran and Amanda Joy from Australia. In January, we got Zarina Zabriskie, John Macker, Jenny Fagan, Shannon Elizabeth Hardwick. February, so far, we've got Gerald Lachlan, S.A. Griffin, and Frankie Metropolis. And in March, we've got nobody yet. But I'm working on that. So those are all the upcoming shows, and there's a Facebook page for Your Mother's Medicine Commit. Or you could go and find out to the Literary Underground and listen to all the cool shows. We have the entire back catalog is available from last April all the way up till now in archives. So please have a listen. There's some great writers and artists that we have been promoting. So anyways, we have another caller. So welcome.
Hi, it's April.
It's April Bratton from the other side of the house.
Yes, it is. I wanted to read a Scott Wahlberg poem.
Okay, read it.
Okay. It's called It's Hard Work, and he wrote it while listening to Kimmy Rhodes. My bones used to know who you are. They rattle something ornery now. Something in the weather. Something in the way the water slowly drips when the world is thirsty in us. Hard work rolling the stone. Hard work flying alone. Nobody to talk to. Nobody to sing with. My brain once knew its way around. It sloshes something peculiar now. Something in the free sample that just didn't set right. Something in tone. Hard work mowing stones. Hard work tossing bones. Gotta get some rest one of these years. Gotta learn a real trade. My bones used to shake when you sailed through. Nowadays, they just don't have a clue.
Nice. Where'd you get that from?
I got it from his Facebook, but it said he wrote it in 2004. So I guess it was an older one.
Okay. Do you have any Scott thoughts or memories you'd like to express, or is that all you'd like to bring to the show, Bratton?
Well, I never met Scott Wahlberg in person. And I guess my most vivid memory would be the day that you found out that he had passed away and you told me. And I just came in and sat down in the chair, you remember? And I just started crying. And it was a very strange feeling to feel that sort of loss from somebody that I had never actually met. But yeah, I don't think I've ever done that before. I mean, I just started crying.
And then we went to the park that night, and I'll never forget because the flood had just ripped the valley apart. And we had to go in this park that had, like, stoves and refrigerators still in it because they got lost in the flood and we were, like, burning his poems. I think that...
Yeah, and we were afraid that someone was going to come get us for trespassing, too.
Yeah, you couldn't go anywhere down there back then. But, I think everybody kind of felt that way, even people that didn't know him because, like, I was talking with Vicky and myself earlier that he was such a mentor to people. And he'd always talk to people, and he was always not telling people how to write, like Vicky said, but like passing a light or a torch to another person. That was the way he knew how, I would assume, to change the world. He was very political, of course. He used to always post those things, but you know, I think his way of changing the world was with his poetry and with his light and the way he helped people. I don't know. That's how I see it. I could be wrong.
Yeah, there was this one moment during an S.A. Griffin show back when he used to do those shows. And he had Scott Wahlberg on, and I think you were on, and they were all trying to get me to read something. It was back when I was incredibly shy. And I just remember Scott Wahlberg just started singing my name and trying to get me to come on the phone, and I didn't do it.
Back when you were incredibly shy?
Well, I still am. I'm shaking a little bit right now just calling in, but I had to do it. So I hope
well, thank
people
you for calling. Well, yeah, more people will. It's 25 minutes. I'm waiting for Jeffrey Santolo to call, which will probably be the last 5 minutes. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, so thank you for calling and sharing the poem.
Yep, all right. I'll see you later.
All right, bye. And that was April Michelle Bratton from the other side of the house, through two sets of walls and into the shitter. I'm sure she was in the bathroom. There was a strange echo. Not that she was shitting, but, you know, that's where we go when someone's doing a radio or an interview or something. The other person goes there. But anyways, that was her. And she has a fine book coming out soon on Neo Places Press called It Broke Anyways, so you should look into that. Check it out. Anyways, so, yeah, I'm going to tell you how you can get Scott's stuff from my knowledge. He's got two books out on Personal Press, and you can know www.personalpress.com. You can order the books there. You can order it from Amazon. He's got some stuff on there. And I'm sure you could always contact his old friends to see if they've got any leads, but some of them aren't on the Facebook anymore. So, yeah, I guess like you'd have to go through those two routes right now. But you should pick up his stuff because it's not like anybody else's stuff. There'll never be anybody who writes like that. Anyway, so, yeah, so there's like 20 minutes left, and I think you should call in. I don't know, play some air guitar. Do whatever you need to do. But I can't play another song. I should have downloaded a couple of songs, one for every half hour, seeing he's a big Grateful Dead fan, and I had some of them downloaded, but it's too late now. So, yeah. So I guess I'll just read another poem because people are being giant, stinky people and not calling in. Wait, this isn't Ralph's show. I can cuss. Anyways, I'm trying to find something that's not 6 hours long here because I lose my breath. Okay. Dead Men's Soiree. Don't mention the rising casualty numbers. Give us a sweet big kiss right on the executive branch lips. Jesus loves George Bush, who in turn loves you with arms wide open. Penny Penny lives in Donald Rumsfeld's vulnerable heart. Rudy Giuliani and Hillary Clinton challenge one another to Donkey Kong. The MIDI keeps on turning and burning. The Baptists are taking a shower. Knock down all the doors, toss the folks onto the floor, handcuff them and drag them off, dragged off the eldest son. The oldest son beats unmercifully down on all the sweating heads of Yes, Rice, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Bush, strays meowing in the dark. Listen to their blood. It's like talking angrily and lying with essence. Santa Claus hung Saddam Hussein and his reindeer's hearts rates have accelerated in the marketplace. The starving impresso does the two-step. Did the bleeding lovers make their getaway? Car bombs smile and whisper soft renaissance in your ear. Grab a hold of the point of no return. Stand in the corner and sing it like a man's. I had to laugh because that whole line of Rudy Giuliani and Hillary Clinton challenging one another to Donkey Kong is something only Scott could have really come up with. I don't know if it's like what went through his head. I mean, sometimes we feel like that in that, but would never put into a poem, and he showed no fear of doing that, and it worked with the rest of it quite well. But if I tried to say things like that, it would come out really dumb. But Scott made it a masterpiece whenever he did stuff like that. I don't know. So we're down to 20 minutes. Call in. Oh, these are the political section. I'm going to flip through his books. Ginseng River. The Information Almanac makes a good murder weapon. Knowledge and a bit of radioactive bewilderment sits in a rocker alongside Ginseng River. The insects are huge, makes a man want to become an accountant instrument. Somebody's in the basement waiting on a busted piano. Don't show any bodies. This is a war with no corpses on an unsteady end of earth. No pirouette, gods on SSI, beers on me. Your mortgage is safe in Ginseng River. Don't forget your cue. The new highway drives through our hearts. No time to rest on the clock. Storm coming. And like I can't do his voice. Like, you know, I'm not trying to do his voice, but I know that a lot of the times the poems were read with excitement and kind of fast and sometimes sung and sometimes half sung and I feel it's like you know, I can hear it in my head, but I can't do that with myself. Negligent. Nope. There's a mark on the line, so I don't want to read a poem and miss a word. Let's just flip through and find something. This is a great book. I love this book. Bush Legacy, Tour Hallucination, Reg. I gave you 8 years of beauty and love. I made the earth fertile with an imaginative. I will go down in history as the king of all deciders. I slept with the construction, and it never snored and woke me up. I never made a mistake. I couldn't live with there's a never-ending price somewhere in the Hall of Mirrors. It demands an accounting. I shake myself and blubber. The decider has made his last great decision, distorted, disturbed, disenfranchised, discombobulated. I am Mr. Clean. I am super president. I saved America from evil. Idiot. My dog, Sparky, drools. There's years of videotapes and documentation. Even a dumb dog like me can sniff through the record if he feels like it. Go, Sparky, go, I say. The Bush Legacy Tour can pull one over your eyes. I put some of the Bush Legacy Tour in Sparky's bowl. He takes a bite, gags, spits it out. Are you trying to poison me, Scott? Sorry, Sparky, I just had to make sure. Don't ever second-guess my canine intuition again, or I just might leave and join the circus. Now get me some real good dog food and rub my belly. Bill Clinton messed up the economy, George says with a smile. Sparky raises a leg and unwinds. That's great, because I actually forgot about Sparky. And I'll never forget that for a while, I thought that Scott actually had a dog named Sparky. And not that, like, that the dog talked, but I actually thought that, like, there was an actual Sparky, and he just put him into poems. So I mean, there was a lot of Sparky poems towards, like, the last year or two, and I just, it almost makes it like a Batman and Robin duo, Sparky and Scott, poetry dog and master. So we're down to 16 minutes, and I've told you the next shows, and I have read you a bunch of poems and told you where you can get his books, and I know there's people listening, and I'm glad you're listening. I just wish you had a little balls to call in. Maybe share a story and read a poem. People tell me all week they want to call in, but I've only had two souls that weren't afraid to do so, and I extended the show. So I'm making you feel bad. You feel bad. You're probably sitting here laughing at me. Listen to Reardon. Act a fool. So I'm going to read another poem. It's called Bye Bye Sun. The sun got kidnapped. The sun done got swiped. What can a poor fool hope to accomplish? The library shelves are empty. The liquor bottle's vacant. Call the plumber. Get your coordinates mapped. Tell your mother to call back later. The sun claimed it enjoyed your company, then took the next bus south. Christopher Columbus's three means of transportation, hospital ships all. Mission control is in the remission. I love to walk with lovers. I'd introduce you to my heart. It just moves around way too fast. I'm never sure where it's at. I tell you to be home by 6, but it never is. I look up at the round hole in the sky, waiting for my cue. I was eager 3 hours ago, but I'm told it will take time. Authorities wait for a ransom note. Solar experts are all over the TV and radio. The ultrasound is a little uncertain. It gets that way sometimes. I got into a long line. I didn't know what the line was for. It just looked good. You need to enjoy the good things. A bad man once said that. He said it so well, I fell on the floor. I might have got up, but the floor felt good. When you lie on the floor, it seems like your space is all that much bigger. I love that poem. That's one of my favorites in the books. In the book, and I don't know. It's kind of moving. It brings back a lot of memories because, you know, in your day-to-day life, if you have kids or you got crap that you're doing, or you got anxiety that's going on, and whatever the hell you're doing in this world, you know, you tend to forget some things sometimes, and reading some of these poems which I haven't read in a while bring them back like a lot of memories, and they're all good though. Scott's one of the few guys people or humans I don't have any bad memories of. You know, there's always like a disagreement or some bullshit. People are always complaining about petty bullshit, myself included, but they don't see like the experience of a human being. I'm not here to preach. I'm just drinking some green tea. So, yeah, imagine that. Me, drinking tea. So, let's read this one. Lost souls go down good with red wine. Durability does not mean ramming your head repeatedly into a solid wall. You might not even look at all the good doing it. You might not even look all that good doing it. Those who have confessed that truly desire to love, those who ain't got will be over on time. The buildings these days grow tall and scary. Watch where your feet choose to live. Something hard at work in the soil. Lovers must be back by 11. My name was Stay Out All Night. Then we all got new clothes and a hard-to-read email from a big man. All the get-up on the horse. Someday soon we'll have to find a way to get down. Prime time has a hole in its foot. Go fetch the podiatrist. Gold got found up north. Lost souls go down good with red wine. I'll crawl through your window soon. I need to figure my longitude and latitude, hours and hours of prairie. That's, I don't know. Those were about 10 or 15, what seemed, those were about, I don't know, 10 poems I read by Scott tonight. And Vicky called in and read one, and April called in and read one, and everybody else just, I don't know, decided to watch CSI or something. But the show will be an archive. So I'm just going to gab here for a few minutes because I'm not good at dead air. I'm not good at talking to myself. Just look up those books because they're great books to have. And you can find his poems online if you can't afford books. I mean, he was never one to, if you were without means when he was alive, you know, a lot of times he would just give away books. And he shouldn't have always been doing that because I know he needed the money at times. But, you know, that's just the kind of guy he was, you know, and I just sent him my books in return. And it's nothing but praise, and he blurbed my book, and he was such a good friend to me. And it meant a lot that some of the last things he said to me, because I didn't know they were going to be the last things that I inspire him sometimes, and that meant like so much to me. And I don't know how. I'm not like, I don't have half the heart the guy had, but like, anyways, I mean, that made me feel good. That was something that I'll hold for a long time, because, you know, we all lose friends and stuff, but like, you never let like the bullshit get in the way, you know, and so many of us like let the bullshit get in the way and care about crappy shit like ideologies and crap like that. And Scott just like never let like the bullshit get in the way, and I admire that. And he never gave a shit. Like, there was no there was no writing clicks with Scott. There was no, I'm part of this group, so I'm a better writer kind of guy. Scott wasn't like that. He was a friend to all. Those are like small, and I'm not trying to preach, but those are like small, like lessons that people could have learned. He never closed the door in your face. Even when he was at his sickest at times, he never said, go away. He was always there, and he sang back to you, and you could read it in his emails that he was singing back to you. Scott never emailed somebody and said, oh, my day is lousy. I feel like total shit. I'm depressed and sitting in the corner, so I must put on skinny jeans and act emo. Because Scott never did that. It was all joy, and there's so few people like that in the world. And those are my memories, and those were some poems I read of his. And I was glad to be able to share that, and sorry if it wasn't that exciting of a show. Not many people called in, so I can only do so much with it. But I guess I'll just cut it short now. There's about 8 minutes left, so I'll probably just end the episode and seeing how it's not people come in. But it was really cool to have Vicky and April to call in and share a memory and a poem. And I told you how you can get his books. And if you need to know, you can contact me or I'll tell you how to get it. I mean, I don't sell his books, but I could probably direct you. And it's just somebody who should be kept alive, just like any of the other creative individuals or people that you care about in the world. Like, try some way to keep them alive. And Scott's just one of those people. So anyways, I'm going to go now instead of preaching because I've got nothing left to say. But thank you for Vicky and April, and thank you for listening to me read some of Scott's poems pretty horribly. Next week we'll have Murphy Clamrod, and he will be discussing his press up there in New Hampshire, Unadorned Press. Uncertain what part of New Hampshire. I think he lives out there, maybe like North Conway or something like that. I don't know where he lives. Maybe he lives by Nashua, or maybe he lives by Manchester. But he'll be on the show discussing his press, and I put out a chapbook on there in 2011. He does those like old school staple chaps, and John Dorsey got one, and Eduardo Jones, and he also does anthologies, and he's got like April Bratton and Aaron Reardon and Jason Hardung have been in like anthologies of his, and he does a lot of good for charities and stuff too, like domestic abuse and getting school supplies for kids and stuff. And he does a lot of it, like, at his home on the typewriter, on the computer, and puts the crap together, and sometimes doesn't even take a cut, just donates money to people. So that's, like, a pretty good thing he's got going on there. Crazy old Murphy, eccentric old Murphy. So he'll be the guest next week, and we'll take it from there. Every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, listen to the archive. Buy Scott Wahlberg book. Buy any books of people I interview. Buy my books. Buy April's books. Buy books. People should read. Tired of this dumbass society and the way it doesn't read. Tired of talking to people and people being like, huh? What? It's cool to be fucking dumb. Anyways, what the fuck ever.